day, listeners. My name is Taylor McClure, and you are tuning in to CIDI's daily news show, Township's Daily News Bits. At the July 3rd council meeting, the town of Broom Lake adopted three new zoning bylaws. Bylaws 59615, 59616, 59617, which have caused some concern amongst local citizens. According to information provided by the municipality, bylaw 59615 concerns the definition of a bed and breakfast. The object of bylaw 59616 is to define shipping container and to settle the conditions in which a shipping container can be used for commercial, industrial, and agricultural use. While zoning bylaw 59617 concerns the noise corridor along Route 104 with the objective of reducing the length of the noise corridor by 1.6 kilometers. With opposition from local residents, the three bylaws are heading to a register on Friday, July 21st, which will determine whether they are subject to a referendum. To get a better understanding as to what concerns these bylaws present for citizens, CID spoke with Benoit Bourgon, local lawyer and founding member of Vigilance Lac-Brome, a citizens group with the mission to preserve the quality of life in Broome Lake. Benoit, I wanted to thank you so much for reaching out to CIDI to discuss the new recent zoning bylaws that were proposed by the town of Broome Lake. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again in person this time, not during the COVID restriction. Before we start with the topic today, I must stress that it's very important for us to be able to reach out to you because there's really no easy way to have access to the population. When we were contesting bylaw 59612 on Airbnb, we had to send pamphlets through the post office, and it's very, very expensive. So fortunately, we have this community radio that can facilitate communication with citizens.
Oh, yes, and it's always our pleasure to do so. So, Benoit, we are here today, as we mentioned, to discuss the recent zoning bylaws proposed by the municipality. So bylaw 59615, 59616, and 59617. So from my understanding, a number of citizens are in opposition of these bylaws, which has triggered a register for this Friday, July 21st. So I want to just begin by perhaps discussing bylaw 59615. So from what I read in the public notice provided by the municipality and the information that you provided me, bylaw 59615 is meant to replace the definition of bed and breakfast with a new definition and to add more detail to the definition of a bed and breakfast, which includes, from my understanding, increasing the number of people that can stay there. So I will be speaking to the municipality as well to get a better understanding as to what this means, but I would like to get a better understanding as to what your concerns are exactly as a member of Vigilance Lac-Brome with this bylaw.
First, the efforts that we are making to gather sufficient signature for the register are not only those of Vigilance Lac-Brome. There's an informal group of people that have assisted us, actually led the fight against those bylaws in the pamphlets that we circulated by post last Friday. Their names are mentioned: Madame Lavoie, Monsieur Pilote, Mr. Martin, Miss Sottle, Mr. Sottle, are all well-intentioned citizens that have joined our group. Bylaw 59615 regarding the bed and breakfast is probably the simplest one to discuss. The only issue we have, and it's a major issue, is allowing 15 people in a bed and breakfast. What the city says is they want to essentially use a definition that is already provided for in the Quebec government legislation. They don't need to do that. They can have their own bylaw. Mm-hmm. They can reduce the number of people to 10. They've chosen to put it at 15. And there's been no evidence given to our group during municipal council's meeting, during the audience publique that is provided by the law that took place on a separate occasion. They didn't come up with any request by the bed and breakfast owners to increase the capacity to 15. We fear that we're, opening the floodgates here by allowing 15 people in a bed and breakfast establishment. It may cause nuisance problem, disturbance, and so on and so forth. So that's really the reason why we're opposing the number 15. That's the only issue we don't want to have a bylaw that allows 15 people in a bed and breakfast establishment. Typically, a bylaw would provide for a number of people per room.
Okay.
Which this bylaw doesn't say. It says up to 5 rooms and up to 15 people. So you can have 3 rooms, 15 people. So there's no correlation between the number of rooms and the number of people.
Okay. So basically the 15 people, you could have 5 rooms and there could be 15 people in one room, basically. You don't know.
Well, normally this should not happen because the owner in a bed and breakfast situation as opposed to an Airbnb, mm-hmm. we have to make the difference. The owner is on site. So the owner would not, I assume, allow 15 people in one room.
Yeah. So, but it's just unclear as to what that correlation is, really.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say there have always been bread and breakfasts here in the village, you know, and people coming to the area to visit.
Yes.
So I just wanted to have a better understanding as to what that concern was there.
Yes.
So that makes more sense.
Yeah.
And now let's go into zone. If that's all you have to mention about that bylaw, we can head into zoning bylaw 596-16.
Okay. Well, that's the one, probably the easiest to understand from your auditor's point of view, mm-hmm. because you can visualize it, right? And what I did not appreciate from the description or the reasoning made by the city on their website, and by the way, they chose not to include on their website our side of the story, so you only have the city's point of view. The shipping containers is not a bylaw that is needed, as they say, because there's a void. There's no void here. The zoning bylaw 596 provides for what the usage are permitted within the city. Now, courts have said if a city decide to enumerate the usage that are allowed within a city, what is not listed is not permitted. So storage of containers is not listed in the bylaw, therefore it's not permitted. It's not a question of void. It is illegal to have a container on your premises, commercial, rural, residential, agricultural. It's illegal right now. Now, the city doesn't say that. They say on the website that there's a void. It's not true. Moreover, when they made a presentation, the deputy general director admitted that containers were tolerated on the premises of some commercial venues, industrial venues. They were tolerated, but they violated the bylaw. As in many instances, this city decides to tolerate people who violate their own bylaws. So they say, well, we want to make legal what is illegal. Well, that's fine. That's a good principle, right? Break the law, and at the end of the day, we will make an amendment to the bylaw so that your conduct is no longer illegal. But let's face it, these containers are huge. They could be like 63 feet long, made out of steel, ugly. Although the bylaw says they will only be allowed on commercial, industrial, and agricultural spaces, those spaces are intertwined within the city with residential area. Just a few hundred meters away from this studio, there's the Minah Excavation Enterprise, right? They would be allowed to have containers on their property. So imagine the eyesore that would represent. You travel on Knowlton Road and you see those huge containers. And that could happen again and again whenever there's a commercial, industrial, or rural space and someone is asking for permission to install a container. So we don't think it is appropriate. We think it's gonna really be very ugly, the look of containers within a village that wants to keep its beauty. That's the reasoning behind it.
And what do you suggest the municipality do instead? You know, it's kind of, it kind of happens sometimes that these industries and these businesses need storage, right? So how do you think they can go about this differently?
It's a very good question, Taylor, because the difference here is they're allowing permanent installation. as opposed to temporary installation. There may be instances, even someone who, I mean, we see that every day, someone who is undergoing a construction or renovation, they're going to bring a container to put all of the rebus and construction rebus in the container. So on a temporary basis, you have a container, but it's for a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, but not for 12 months, a year, and forever. So that's the huge difference. I mean, this allows permanent installation of containers. Also, it's an eyesore. We already have a huge, Vigilance Lagoon have a huge problem with the type of authorization the city has given to promoters that have constructed or are constructing as we speak a three-story apartment building between the liquor store and the gas station. I mean, think about it. You're the mayor, and someone comes to you and say, "I want to build an apartment building between a gas station and a liquor store." You're gonna say, "Are you crazy? What's going on? Doesn't make sense." You don't put a residential property between a gas station and a commercial property. But that's the type of decision the CCU of this town has been making for the last few years. And it needs to stop.
That kind of is a great leeway into the other zoning bylaw that concerned you, which was the noise corridor on Chemin Knowlton up to Moffett Road, which, from my understanding, was meant to reduce exactly what you're speaking of, development, construction along Route 104.
Yeah, well, I mean, the best image you can have to understand the implication of this bylaw is to look at those two tiny houses, white houses that have been constructed right in front of the IGA. They are probably at most 20 meters from the edge of the road. It's a provincial road. So you've got 53-footer coming in and out, a lot of traffic. These people have kids, presumably, right? They can just go on the street, and it's all security issues arising out of the promiscuity of the residents on the edge of the road. Why these were allowed? The city used the dérogation minor deviations process to allow the construction of those properties. We were told there was not enough room in the back of the property to pull them away from the street. Well, if there's not enough room altogether, why should they be allowed to build a residence on these lots? And there's at least six other, if not 10 other properties that are forecast to be built on the same type of lots. But it doesn't stop there, in our view. Because this bylaw, essentially, is part of a larger plan of the city to increase densification all over the city. And by allowing construction on the very edge of 104, Chemin de Knowlton, you will be allowing other promoters to buy land and build close to the edge of the 104 and, you know, increase the productivity of their investment, right? And that's going to go a long way. It's going to increase tremendously the ability of those promoters to build additional residential project, commercial project along the 104, increase the noise and add to additional disturbance. So when the city says fewer than 10 detached single-family homes could be built in the short or medium term, this is misleading, because that doesn't take into account the real plan of the city to increase the densification. We're not talking about 10 more detached single-family homes. We're talking about a number of additional commercial establishment, residential apartment, three stories apartment, and so on and so forth. To be honest, the city has never come to us and say, "This is the plan we want for the city." We're discussing right now a 5-year plan. There's a 5-year urban plan that is supposed to come in place. Some people say in December. We don't really know. But the city is already taking steps through these bylaws that indicates, you know, what is the flavor of the day? What do they want to for the plan? And when you look at these individual bylaws, you can quite perceive their plan. Their plan is to increase the densification of the city. Now, do the citizens, your auditors, want this village, let's call it a village, we are a village, to become like Cowansville? Because I think that's the plan of the city. And I don't favor that. I want the town of Broome Lake to remain a village. That's what attracted a lot of people in the first place to come here. I'm for the growth of the village, but a reasonable, well-thought expansion that takes into account l'aspect rustique et bucolique of our village.
Yes, the look and the aesthetic of our to fit in. Like you mentioned, I've spoken to people various times over the last few months, and there's a number of citizens here that are concerned about the development projects that are taking place around here. But, you know, there's also this situation of lack of housing. So it's what do you think the town can do to bridge those two gaps without necessarily densifying the village to an extreme, I guess I could say.
Okay. My understanding of densification may be different from that of the city or some of your auditors. What I mean by we're against densification is that we're against allowing apartment building being constructed 20 meters away from another one, mm-hmm. Without any space between the two.
Like they're built right on top of each other.
Right on top of each other. That's not our vision. I mean, there are some residential projects that takes into account the space needed to do it. Now, one of the problems is the city has no requirement in terms of what size of lot you need to build a given project,
the
structure. Therefore, when you're the owner of open land lots and you want to sell those lots, those who are going to knock at your door to purchase those lots will want to make the best use of it. There is a problem with the bylaws, the urban bylaws, that they don't provide for specific size for specific type of construction. We have seen projects that have been adopted by the city that are quite questionable. We recently had a citizen meeting, and one of the members, I won't mention his name because I didn't ask his permission to mention his name, but he said, when I talked to the mayor and to the councilors, And I make that point that they should be more transparent and get the feedback from the citizens. The answer I get is that, well, we were elected. We are the representative of the population. With all due respect for Mayor Burkham, this is a very narrow-minded approach. And this is not the type of approach that, you know, the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeal of Quebec have favored in their decision. They have often stated that municipalities should be close to their population, and whenever they can, they should get the population feedback. Now, Taylor, in closing on this, I've been actively involved in municipal affairs for the last four and a half years. I've been going at almost all municipal council meeting. We have not seen from the city a real volition to listen to the citizens. And as a result of this, there has been many projects that have been facing threats of referendum. So you've got to stop and think, why is it that you need to have a group of well-intentioned citizens to get together, spend time and money to make the city realize they're going the wrong way? We should not have to do this every time there's some opposition to a project. There should be a more convenient process where the city sits down with our group or other people and try to get our feedback.
Thank you again, Benoit, for chatting with us. I really appreciate it. To provide more clarity to local residents on the three bylaws, CIDI also spoke with Owen Falcaro, the municipality's lawyer and director of the Registry and Legal Affairs, about what these bylaws could mean for the municipality if they move forward and the municipality's goals with their adoption. Oh, and I wanted to thank you so much for taking the time out to chat with CIDI about the recent zoning law bylaws that have been proposed by the municipality of Broome Lake. I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure to be here.
So we are here today to discuss the recent zoning bylaws that have been proposed by the town of Broome Lake. So bylaw 59615, 59616, and 59617. And from my understanding, there are some concerns surrounding these bylaws on part of citizens here in our community. And there is going to be a register being held this Friday, July 21st at the D'Epernard Rouge. So I just wanted to start off by perhaps discussing bylaw 59615. So from what I read in the public notice provided by the municipality, this is meant to replace the definition of a bed and breakfast establishment with a new definition and to add more detail as to the usage of a bed and breakfast. So I was just wondering if you could maybe provide clarity as to what this means exactly. What about the definition do you want to change, and what do you mean by a definition of usage as well?
Okay, well, in our current bylaw for zoning 596, we had noted quite a while ago that our definition of bed and breakfast or gîte touristique was incomplete, mostly incomplete because a key component, which is in a bed and breakfast, the owner must stay on the spot and stay there that night, was not present. And that left the door open that some people who want to do Airbnb type rentals could say, no, I'm really doing bed and breakfast because this component of the owner must be there and stay on the spot wasn't there. So we wanted to fix this little anomaly by very simply adopting the definition that is used officially by Quebec for many years and is the one upon which Quebec grants permits for bed and breakfast. So we took word for word the definition that Quebec uses, and we propose to make that our new definition.
Okay. And I spoke with Vigilance Lac-Brome, and they mentioned to me that there's only one thing that concerns them about that bylaw. And that was, from my understanding, there's this possibility that they're increasing the number of people to the bed and breakfast to 15. But they are confused about the correlation between this number and the number of rooms. So I was wondering if you'd be able to provide more clarity on this. Is this 15 people in total with a certain number allowed in each room?
We are still following the Quebec law, which has been existing for many years, and their definition is up to a maximum of 5 rooms, up to a maximum of 15 people.
Okay.
My understanding is that doesn't mean you can put 15 people in one room. It means if you have one room, there's a limited number of people that can go into it. Is it 3 or 4? I'm not sure. But the 15 maximum people would only be if you hit the 5 maximum rooms.
Okay.
So if you have a Quebec government licensed, CITQ is the group that gives out the licenses, for one room bed and breakfast, you're not putting 15 people in there.
No, so it's only if you have 5 rooms. If you have less, it's less than 15 people.
So this idea that the town is adding or increasing the number of people who could be in a bed and breakfast facility is completely wrong. All we're doing is following what we've always been doing, which is the Quebec law, which says up to a maximum of 5 rooms, up to a maximum of 15 people. We've been applying that already. We're changing our definition to make it more clear that our idea of bed and breakfast is the exact same thing as what Quebec's idea of a bed and breakfast is. And by the way, to differentiate it from any possibility of confusing it with short-term rental or Airbnb type rental.
Thank you so much for clearing that up. Now, there's also zoning bylaw 59616, which is regards the shipping containers for commercial, industrial, or agricultural use. Now, I was wondering why the municipality felt that it was necessary to put this zoning bylaw in place. There's concern here because, from my understanding, the zoning bylaw would allow these shipping containers to be permanent on the sites of whatever commercial or industrial business are using them.
That's right. So currently we have in our 596 zoning bylaw, the definition of a storage area, an aire d'entreposage. That's basically what you could imagine any commercial or industrial storage area. Imagine the area behind the Rona. Imagine the area behind Windmill Plastics, KDC, any other industrial or commercial zone you could imagine out in West Broome along the 104. In our bylaws, we don't mention storage containers. Storage containers, what we can picture, the intermodal ones that go onto trucks, go onto boats, we don't mention those. So it's not clear whether they should be allowed or not allowed. In some cases, commerces or industries have put them in, and we were deciding how we would deal with it. Mm-hmm. One way to do it would be say they're not allowed and make everyone who has one take one out. How many do you think there are behind the Rona?
Probably quite a few considering some construction materials.
I don't know. That's sort of the point. I don't mm-hmm. know because if there are containers back there, they don't bother anybody because they're in the aile d'entreposage and they're hidden away. So council decided for industrial and commercial use, we would recognize that it's possible in theory to have a storage container as your aile d'entreposage with the follow-up that the people who are against this never mention is that we have a very detailed definition of what the aile d'entreposage is. It must be either fenced off or otherwise hidden by vegetation. It is normally on the sides or in the back and generally would not be seen. So that's the big part of this thing is we're going to permit the idea that a commerce or an industry could use a storage container, but the follow-up is we'll make sure they're hidden.
Okay, that was something that wasn't clear. They were nervous that it was going to become an eyesore in the village and it was just going to take up all of the wonderful spaces that we have here. But so you're ensuring that does not happen.
Well, that's our goal behind it. Mm-hmm. Nobody in the town or the council wants to have ugly storage containers sitting by the road. And some might say, oh, I see examples of that around. Yes, but taking care of that is saying we will allow it with rules and we'll apply the rules. And the new part we're adding is, up till now, storage containers are not allowed in agricultural zones. We are proposing to permit it in agricultural zones for agricultural use. If you're on the farm, you could have, again, with a number of conditions, setback from the road and so on, storage containers as part of your farm storage, which already happens in a number of places, not just in this town, but every farm in Quebec.
And there's also the other bylaw that there's a register is taking place for. It's 59617, which is the noise corridor. Now, this was their major concern here, because from my understanding, the noise corridor was to kind of protect the tranquility and limit the construction and densification of the 104 from Chemin-Knowlton up to Moffat Road. But now the municipality is reducing the length of that corridor. So I know that the development here in the village is a cause for concern for a number of people that I've spoken to over the last couple of months. So I was wondering why the municipality decided to go ahead with this rezoning, this with these concerns in mind. Why did you think it was necessary to reduce that corridor?
Well, here's what the reasoning was. First of all, the noise corridor is an initiative that comes from the MRC, and on certain provincial roads, under certain conditions, they want the towns to have a noise corridor. The noise corridor is poorly named. It's not named to control the noise, is to control the building on either side of these arteries.
Yes.
So our noise corridor runs on the 104 from the Cowansville border all the way to Moffat. The criteria for a noise corridor, according to the MRC, is that the speed limit must be 70 kilometers per hour or higher, that it be a provincial road, and that there be at least 5,000 vehicles per day. When we put the noise corridor in, from the Cowansville border along the 104 all the way to Moffat, met those criteria. They no longer do. We're proposing to take out 1.6 kilometers from Moffat up to Tibbetts. The 650 meters from Moffat up to just past the Rona, we reduced the speed limit to 50 a couple years ago. Since it's a 50 kilometer zone, the MRC does not even consider it as a noise corridor anymore. And if we were starting over again, we would never have called it a noise corridor. The second part from Rona up to Tibbetts, it's about a kilometer. There, the speed limit is still 70 kilometers an hour, but the Ministry of Transport statistics show that fewer than 5,000 vehicles pass per day.
So you essentially had to readjust that because you weren't falling within the criteria.
Well, we didn't have to. We chose to, and here's why. Is that along that stretch, it's a mixed use, especially the part from Moffat up to near the Rona.
Yes.
It's mixed use, industrial, commercial, single family, up to a possibility of 8-plexes. And we thought it was crazy to have no chance of any building within 86 meters, that's the distance, of both sides in a 50 kilometer zone on the edge of the village. For example, there are people who live not even on Knowlton Road. They live on Desruisseaux or Jolibourg or Moffat or Mirage, who aren't even on Highway 104, Knowlton Road, who can't do anything with their house because they're an acquired right. Not to mention all the people who live along Knowlton who have their single family houses, of which there's probably 20 or 25, whose houses now also exist in acquired right, can't do any renovation that would increase the size of the building, and can't demolish and rebuild.
Okay, so because that was the concern here, was that like this bylaw, hand in hand with perhaps other future bylaws, it might lead to mass densification, meaning close to the roads, especially during the time where the municipality is working on its urban plan. So I didn't know if you wanted to address that concern.
The argument or the art in favor or against densification or more affordable housing, that's an argument for another day, probably for the urban plan. But I can assure you that our goal in eliminating 1.6 kilometers of the noise corridor had nothing to do with trying to encourage building. That wasn't even on our radar. It was proposed for a few simple reasons. One, I already mentioned, people in the absurd position who don't even live on Moulton Road have their houses frozen in time because they're an acquired right, because they're within the 86 meters. There's also a couple of concrete situations. For example, opposite the Rona, there are three single family houses. There were three other lots that were slated for construction. We would have normally given minor derogations to allow them to build. The Quebec government changed their law in 2021, saying we can no longer give minor derogations for things that deal with health. This noise corridor deals with health. Those three lots, those people would never be able to build as long as there's a noise corridor there. We thought that was absurd. The first three houses that are there, whether people like them or not, the people who own them like them, and we didn't see why the other three couldn't be built. The more general idea of densification, sure, part of that zone is zoned up till 8-plex, but almost every property, absent maybe one, is already built. Often built up with commercial organizations like Rona, Garage DCS, Canada Etang.ca, Knowlton Co. It's unrealistic to think that between now and 5 years from now, if we get rid of the noise corridor, all these commercial buildings will disappear and that multiplexes will arrive.
Yeah, so the number of those projects that are coming in, you view it as being limited in the future.
There are none. And all the single-family houses between Moffitt and near the Rona, there's probably 7 or 8, those will still be single-family houses, and people live in them.
Mm-hmm.
The day we get rid of the noise corridor, they're not going to sell tomorrow to a promoter who's going to subdivide as many properties as he can. That's not what we had on our radar. That's not what we're thinking. That's not what we're doing. We're not helping promoters, contrary to what some people would say. We're not doing all this with a Machiavellian plan to create more multiplexes.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it to get rid of an absurd situation where a noise corridor doesn't fit the criteria anymore. And by the way, whether it's called a noise corridor today or tomorrow, there'll be the exact same number of vehicles making the exact same number of noise.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing changes.
That's what I was not clear about that and how that worked exactly, but thank you so much for clearing that up. Those are all the questions that I had for you, Owen, but I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to touch on these bylaws that I may have missed in my questions that you think would be important to clarify or to make people aware of.
Well, just that if people are interested, they can go on the public notice part of our website or contact me for any information they want about this. And the register is happening this Friday at Dépanneur Rouge from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. People want to check whether they're on the list to sign. They can also contact me. But basically, anyone who's registered to vote in this town, has voted, say, provincially from here, ought to be on the list. And if they want to come down to sign, they should feel free.
Perfect. Thank you so much again, Owen. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.